In your Bible, please, Galatians, the sixth chapter. Galatians, chapter 6. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in a fault or a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness or gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is not, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. The last several weeks we have been looking at this portion of Paul's letter to the churches in Galatia concerning walking in the Spirit. Remember, at verse 16 of chapter 5, I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. At verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit allows the indwelling person of Christ to powerfully produce the fruit of the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is pleasing to God. Walking in the Spirit is profitable for others. Last week we saw how that walking in the Spirit, allowing the Spirit of God to produce His fruit, gives us a proper perspective. We see things the way God intended us to see them. We are careful about our relationships with one another. By walking in the Spirit, we are not conceited. We are not provoking. We are not envying. We are, in fact, allowing the Spirit of God to produce through us that which is profitable, beneficial in personal relationships. Walking in the Spirit also provides the proper response in our personal relationships. Proper perspective. We see things as God would have us see them. And then we respond, guided by the Holy Spirit, in a way that is pleasing to God and profitable for others. Here we have seen, as we looked last week, a brother has been overtaken by a fault. That word overtaken, he has been blindsided, didn't see it coming. This is not, as we saw regarding the brother who in 1 Corinthians, and then addressed again in 2 Corinthians, was blatantly living in sin. That incestuous relationship that brother was practicing, and the church was proud of. They were puffed up about how they had permitted this to continue. And Paul had to address that. There was a strong reprimand that was needed. But whether it be, as here in Galatians chapter 6, a brother who has been overtaken, blindsided, or a brother who is blatant in his overt disobedience and satisfying of the flesh, the same response is required. You who are spiritual, seeing a brother blindsided, seeing a brother blatant, restore such a one. That word restore is a word that is used in the Greek in medical terminology. It means to set it right as one would set a fracture. To put it back in proper working order. A brother's overtaken. A brother is overt in sin. What's the response? You who are spiritual, restore. Set things right. Now, obviously, as we saw last week, in the case of blatant sin, there was a strong reprimand that had to take place. Paul says, I've already judged that. And as it is right now, I've turned him over to the flesh and over to Satan. He later writes in 2 Corinthians, it's obvious that reprimand has brought our brother to remorse. He's sorrowing. And he's sorrowing with a godly sorrow that has evidenced itself in repentance. A change has taken place. Thus, don't allow him to be overwhelmed in that sorrow and be subject to Satan getting the upper hand. Restore. Set things right. Put him back in place for the brother overtaken. Same response. Set things right. Restore the one who has been overtaken in a trespass. And do it, you who are walking in the Spirit, with meekness. Now, some of your translations have the word gentleness there, because often in the English language, the word meekness has an aspect or a connotation attached to it of weakness. There is no weakness in meekness. In fact, just the opposite. The spiritual meekness that is produced by the Holy Spirit is that Christ-like meek and lowly, no less strong, no less authoritative, but meek, gentle, caring. Restore such an one in meekness. And here is a very key element. Considering yourself, lest you also be tested or tempted. That brother in sin blatant? That brother in sin, blindsided, could very well be me. There, but for the grace of God. Go on. Come on over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, if there was ever a church that the 20th century church most looks like as far as a first century church, it's probably the church at Corinth. It was characterized by contention, had all kinds of factions. It was characterized by carnality. This is the church. And what was characteristic of this church was the flesh. This was a church that was characterized by a great deal of confusion. They had questions about everything. And so Paul had to address this contentious, carnal, confused church. He had to address some issues that they didn't bring to his attention, but he was aware of. And then he addresses those issues which they wanted to have addressed. In the context of the letters to the church at Corinth, he uses an example. An example of the people of God walking in disobedience. He uses this example as a warning. Chapter 10. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, Christ, that rock upon which the church is now being built. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. This is God's people. A people with whom he has a personal relationship. A people who have experienced his power of deliverance. A people who have experienced his power of protection. A people who have experienced the power of his provision. God's people have uniquely been delivered out from sin unto a special relationship with the true and the living God. And he has been providing, protecting. And the response? To turn. To turn away. Rather, to embrace. They turn from. Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And do not become idolaters as were some of them, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day, 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain as some of them. They were destroyed by the destroyer. Here's the picture. It's a powerful warning that Paul is setting forth for those there at Corinth. As a people of God, we can look back and see how our forefathers failed and learn. Rather than turning to their God, they turned away from idolatry. We don't know how that happened. We just threw that stuff in the fire and out comes this idol. Let's eat, drink, because we don't know what's going on. And we have no idea what tomorrow holds. And so they sat down in the presence of an idol and satisfied their flesh. The good things God provided, but with no acknowledgement of Him. They allowed the flesh to control, and thus they sexually satisfied the flesh. Murmur. Boy, I wish we were back in Egypt. Remember what it was like? Onions, garlic, leeks. What's this stuff? It's bread from heaven. It's God's provision. And so, because of they're yielding to the satisfaction of the flesh, sudden disaster. Thousands. Bodies strewn. They were in the wilderness with an attitude of testing God, rather than responding to God's testing of them. And they failed. Many of them. Now all these things, verse 11, happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the age has come. Therefore, let no one think he stands. Take heed, lest you fall. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. There's a brother. Huh. Look at that behavior. Blatant in his sin. there's a brother, blindsided by sin. In the flesh, no proper perspective. In the flesh, no proper response. But you who are spiritual, walking in the Spirit, restore such a one. Set him right. Set him straight. Meekly. Gently. Considering yourself, for there but by the grace of God, take heed, lest you also be overcome. There's no test, temptation that has overtaken you except such as common to man. See, we're vulnerable to failure. That's why it's ludicrous to think that somehow we can gain and maintain a relationship with God by the law. All the law does is condemn. It convicts. It challenges, and the flesh steps up to the challenge. God has extended his love to us. And there are trials. There are tests. There are temptations. But it's not unique to you, because this is part of the human experience, and we're all vulnerable. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tested beyond what you are able, but with the test will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Tests are part of the master plan of God for you and for me. As long as we are in these bodies of flesh, as long as we are in this world, we are subject to, but not unaware of, the wiles of the wicked one, the temptations of this world. And what we know is true of ourselves, that we are sinners saved by the grace of God. And in the trials, in the tests, God has provided a way of escape. Not necessarily taking us out of, but a way of escaping, succumbing to the tests and failing. Or he says that you may be able to what? Bear it. It may be by the grace of God that he might take us out of that trial. But here very clearly what is being stated is he provides through that trial the way in which we can please him and profit others. And you all know what that provision is. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul's heart was so overwhelmed at times because he saw the church contentious, carnal, confused, and his heart went out. And at times he had to be the instrument in which God brought reprimand, but always with the purpose of restoration. That he brought correction, but always with the purpose of instruction. And through his ministry, he experienced trials, testings, physical, emotional, spiritual. But he concluded, Second Corinthians 12, I'm reading from verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure, his concern for the church was such that he got himself into sort of a bind in wanting them to embrace what he was saying to the degree that he may have gotten a little proud because he was aware that they were following other teachers that were leading them astray. And he wanted to keep them from going astray, reminding them that what he brought to them concerning who Christ is, what he's done, what he's doing, and what he's going to do is where you need to be. And so he has set forth his apostolic authority and realizes that maybe the Spirit of God needs to temper this a bit. Lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations. You see, what I've delivered to you, I've received from God. A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. God knows what I need. He always does. Concerning this, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. Lord, as I see things, I don't need this. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Well, shut my mouth. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities. We don't know specifically, but it may be this is the ophthalmia, this is the eye disease, this weeping of eyes, this soreness and redness that made him very unattractive to look at, that caused him all kinds of discomfort and pain. That the power of Christ might rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, weaknesses, physically, in reproaches. Not understood. In needs, Do you see the condition I'm in here, Lord? If I were a rich man, if things could only be different. In persecutions, I'm doing your will. Distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Galatians chapter 6. Brethren, if a man is blindsided, or as we've seen, even blatant in his sin, you who are spiritual, restore, mend, set right, straight, such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tested. There but for the grace of God. And I am aware that just as my brother is going through a test, so I can expect to go through tests in every aspect of life. And he is faithful. He hasn't forgotten us. He has provided the sufficiency of himself. My favor to be with you, although undeserved, so that you can come through to my praise, so that you can come through the profit of others. This is what is taking place here that Paul is emphasizing. What it means to walk in the Spirit. To allow the Spirit of God to produce love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness and self-control. There's much more. But for this morning, you who are spiritual, seeing a brother blindsided or even blatant, restore, reprimand, yes. Allowing godly sorrow to bring repentance so that that restoration, that being set right, might be to the praise of God and the profit of others. Thank you, Lord, for these moments together this morning as we consider that which you have set forth for us, what it means, what it is to experience walking in the Spirit. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. We'll get to bearing one another's burdens and other things later.